With the theme Follow the Gold so prominent in society these days, the radio players are hot on the trail of that sparkling precious metal. We shrewdly decided to trace the element back to one of its early fanatic fans, King Midas, greedy ruler of Phrygia in ancient Greece, given the ability to turn whatever he touched to gold, a mixed blessing we shall easily see as we wing our way to Phrygia to observe the plight of one besotted by gold. I cannot caution you strongly enough. Do not approach the king. Do not touch him or be touched by him. Consider yourself forewarned. First, let's meet the cast of All That Glitters. I'm Elizabeth Donahue, and I'll be the narrator.
Eric Billingsley, I'll be King Midas.
I'm Christopher Thundy, and I will be Miner.
Steve Falcone, and I will be Cylindus.
I'm Kevin Rathundi, and I shall be Dionysus.
I am Aubriana Rathundi Olson, and I will be Marigold.
All That Glitters, a radio play by Steve Falcone. Scene 1. Money tumbling is a familiar sound through the ages. Tonight we take you back to the counting house of the greatest miser of them all, King Midas.
1100, Sister Fori? 1100 and...
He stops and looks about.
What was that?
He scrambles coins to him. Must speak softly when the king is in his counting house. One might envision his majesty in raptures, greedy fistful of coins. Not so, alas, as his majesty suffers from a miser's pardonable paranoia, agitated as his chief advisor, Miner, pants and rushes breathlessly into the chamber.
You dare interrupt your majesty in his sanctum sanctorum?
Is that what this is? I thought... No matter. I've come from the market.
Oh, never good tidings. Speak.
Miner holds up his finger.
Coin values plummet like wounded fowl.
By what means?
The cost of goat cheese exploding.
Fetter?
I fear so, sire. The cause may be traced to a drunken satyr.
A what?
Silenus by name, vows himself the mentor to Dionysus.
Explain yourself.
Would that I could, sire. The satyr slurred his words so I caught but bits of his speech, was flying chunks of cheese, his lips were fairy purple.
I take your image, boy. Now tell me the meaning.
It seems to mean little and say less than is sensible, sire. This purchase of such abundant cheese has thrown the market into panic. Who buys all of the cheese?
More to the point. Why?
Because he can. Of untold wealth, it seems.
Whence comes such coin?
He claims himself the foster father of Dionysus, the god of wine. Coins flow from him as swiftly as grapes down his gullet.
Oh, damn this drunken distorter of the market. Something must be done. But what?
Well, might he be...
And summon the wrath of Dionysus upon us? Oh, we'll not court the retribution of a god. Not even a drunken one.
Indeed not, sire.
Guile is needed in this instant.
To be certain, sire, but... how best to implement this stratagem?
Back to the market with you, boy. Befriend the four-legged sot by any means necessary.
Ply him with wine?
Short of paying the bill. Cajole him. Woo him with words. Soften his purse strings. After a few goblets, bid him come to the palace and rest himself until we may apprise Dionysus of his location.
And if he should refuse?
Pour him another from his own pocket. Well, soon enough, he'll be your blubbering best friend.
Will he?
Most assuredly. We each have our passions, desires that rule our lives. Mine, of course, is coin. I adore the clink of cash, the amassing of stack upon stack of chips. For Silenus, it is drink. The gurgle of grape down his craw, it impels him all of his actions. Use that impulse to woo him. I shall expect you and the satyr anon. To business, then.
As you will, sire.
Back the king's minion travels to find the old satyr, even deeper in his cups, if that were possible. Despite his four hooves, Silenus' posture seems shaky. His slurred words echoed his cry.
Yamas! Health to all!
Cup slipped from Salinas's grips to be scooped up by an alert miner dashing in to save the drink. He hands the cup to Salinas.
The residue remains, master.
What wonder is this, fine fellow, to salvage near spillage? Endless thanks, young sir. Your nimble gesture saved my cup. How best to show my thanks?
'Tis I offer gratitude to a wine god for his flowing gift that loosens the tongue and gladdens the heart. We are legion in your debt.
Yamas! Oh, I grow weary, immortal, but fatigued.
Thanks for long days.
But the nights are glorious.
I serve King Midas, whose palace lies just over the rise. He has commanded me to bid you take respite with him.
The king of riches?
The same.
His regal fingers never unclasped from his coin, I've heard.
Tales of accomplished men often grow fanciful.
Terrible falsehoods are spoken of dear Dionysus, who only spreads joy to all he encounters. It is too often the lot of true leaders to be maligned.
Too true. Where might Dionysus reside at present?
He leads a festive troop along a wine trail, to the delight of his disciples. Joy is rampant. I no longer possess the fortitude to keep abreast of the master.
Many younger than you are missing from his pass. Down by the drink, no doubt.
Was there ever a softer landing, a sweeter smile risen from that liquid sacrament?
Such a smile fills your face still, though exhaustion weighs upon it as well. King Midas bids you welcome with all the comfort he might provide.
Lead on, young one. Yamas!
Scene 3. The Legion of Thersi's staffs, common to followers of Dionysus, signal their presence and announce the arrival of the rock star of the age himself.
He has arrived, the one dearest to my heart, cast off of Zeus, given me by Hermes to mentor and rear. Nymphs suckled him, as I taught him all. No nearer could my own child cling.
Dionysus appears in all his glory, huge, with tousled locks flowing as he trots ahead of his disciples, a god formed for the earth to rule its sacred potion. His voice is sweetness and power.
Peace to all present. I seek my lost father, once again wandered at the urging of wine. Dear Silenus, always immortal, ever addled with his years, is he I would return to his home.
Beyond honored are we to welcome a god to our midst. A goblet of our vintage, perhaps.
I have no words for rejection of the sacred grape. Ha ha! A cup would delight!
Dionysus waves staff.
And for all my dear companions!
I doubt if there is sufficient...
I have complete faith in you.
Of course. We seek only your comfort.
Well displayed by the hospitality shown my wandering mentor. Thanks enough I cannot bestow. I stand ever in your debt. You've but to name your reward.
I seek no recompense for my actions. The joy was in the giving.
I have heard a word of your fondness for precious metals.
Oh, 'tis a passion of mine.
We each of us harbor a zeal unique to ourselves. Well known is my reverence for the grape. Silenus was my teacher in all aspects of life. The sacramental grape paramount among his lessons. He now lies in the arms of Morpheus, dreaming, no doubt, of a brimming goblet of wine. Oh, blessed is he whose waking state is a fulfillment of his dreams. Allow me to fulfill a dream of yours. Have you a fondness for gold?
Who doesn't? 'Tis the oldest and most precious of metals. Wealthy indeed is he who lays such hands on such treasure.
Then such a gift is to be yours, noble king of Phrygia. Henceforth, all that you touch shall turn to gold.
My joy lies beyond belief. My thanks too full to express in words. This has been my heart's desire all my days.
This I know. I am a god after all. You desire now to test your newfound power, hmm? 'Tis only human.
Dionysus picks up a clay jar.
Ooh, sturdy work by a fine craftsman. How might it be enhanced?
He tosses jar to King Midas, clay mutating to solid gold the moment it touches the king's hands. His hands shake as they grasp the jar, now glinting in the sun, eyes moistened with joy.
My fondest wish come true!
One should be careful what one wishes.
King Midas reaches for his sandal, which turns a shimmering hue.
Oh, miraculous!
Such wonders have curious ways of working. Consider your choices wisely and tread softly as you go, hmm?
The king gazing at gold sandal.
The way eternally bright before me.
So far as you can see at present, let future joys ever be tempered.
My life unfolds in glitter before me.
May it ever be thus. Again, I offer my thanks for your kindness to Silenus. We leave you now with wishes of all health and every happiness. May sun shine ever upon you.
I shall never know want again.
Scene 4. Midas sits atop a throne of pure gold, surrounded by all manner of objects, all glittering gold. A man giddy in his riches, a palace songbird, catches his ear. Frowning, Midas never cared for the lilt. He grabs a wing, turning the bird mid-chirp to a shiny statue, more bounty for his cash.
Who could envision the act of turning objects into gold might prove taxing? Sustenance is what's wanted. Minor, attend to dinner, forthwith.
Into the throne room, the lad dashes, breathless as ever, caught up short by the gleaming figures amassed about the king.
The trophies grow, your majesty.
By leaps and bounds, boy. All my treasures in a row.
Minor spies Perseus, his favorite cat, now a shimmering block before him.
Dear Perseus among them, no longer to twine about my legs, purring for a pet. Will you not lament his loss, sire?
It's a creature of small worth, grown to countless value in his present state. Enough of your melancholy. Fetch my repast.
10,000 pardons, sire. Your fare awaits.
Minor rushes off and returns, carrying a tray laden with delicacies. Midas reaches for a date, only to have it turn golden in his hands.
Bothersome, but not insurmountable. Minor, it seems that feeding myself has become a problem. A matter easily dealt with. I require you to feed me.
Minor backpedaling.
Nay, sire, that much I dare not.
King Midas rises from the throne.
By the gods, you shall, or pay the price.
No punishment can exceed the horror of changing to an object in a counting house.
Midas kneels.
I await punishment.
At that right moment, the king's only daughter, Marigold, the light of the monarch's eyes, arrives.
What business is this, father?
Oh, Marigold, my sweetness. Too long has it been since these old eyes beheld you.
Marigold views the gold objects.
Busy expending your passion from this array about you.
Is it not glorious, shining joy to every eye?
Why is Minor kneeling?
He has refused a command from his king and awaits punishment.
What offense is the poor man guilty of, might I ask, father?
Minor jumps up.
I could not, dare not, hand-feed my king, lest the hand that is nourished turn to an object ever after.
Marigold turns to the king.
Is this so, father?
Dramatically stated. I sought only that morsels be dropped into my mouth. Touching never need entered into the process.
desperate the state you've ensnared yourself in, Father, yet I see but a small matter spooning your nourishment.
Beware the spoon, Highness.
Silence, cur! Another word from you forfeits your life.
Minor slinks away.
Little need for such ire, Father. The matter is handily managed. I shall feed you myself.
Ever the light in my day, the warmth in my heart, child. All is made right in your capable hands.
Smiling, Marigold scoops food onto a spoon and extends it to her father's mouth, only to have the spoon and its contents turn to gold, with Marigold following after. The king's jaw hangs agape at the ghastly sight, regal head slumped in his hands, sobs racking his body. Minor returns with a tray of fruit, spies Marigold and drops the fruit.
Highness!
Hand over his mouth.
One word I have given.
He bows his head.
I now accept my fate.
King Midas waves Minor away.
Oh, words have lost all meaning. Hubris has cost me my one true love. Shiny metals have drawn my focus upon myself. To what end? Alone, unloved, a regal life unfulfilled.
Surely, Majesty...
Speak not that title to me. I am worthy of none. Truly, the gods laugh at my folly, the senseless use I have made of my life. Let me but sink into shameful death.
Scene 5. Head still in his hands, King Midas hears the familiar thump, thump, thump of the wine god's staff.
The gods have heard your lament, Midas. We expected as much. We do not laugh at your sorrow. Far from it, sad mortal. The measure of your loss is enormous. A lesson learned at what cost?
Sorrow untold! I count now only woes in endless number. My faults too grave to bear.
Your tears bespeak genuine remorse. We all have our flaws and lessons to be learned from them. Your grief must be relieved. Your child returned to you.
He stamps his staff, and Marigold lives.
Cherish her once more.
King Midas hesitates. Dionysus nods and embraces his daughter.
Blessed beyond measure am I to hold my heart's true treasure to me again.
Do you still wish for the golden touch?
A thousand times nay, great God. I pray for release from this curse.
Henceforth, your touch shall again be human. To reach out to your subjects in kindness and understanding.
Blessings upon you, mighty deity. No longer shall any metal, however shiny, lure my attention from the love of all my people. Foremost, the true beat of my heart.
King Midas embraces Marigold.
Shall I feed you now, Father?
I am now a monarch able to feed myself and all my kingdom, starting with my lovely child.
He offers a date to his daughter.
Yamas! Ha ha!